and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered, said unto him, My Lord and my God. I want to preach to you this morning about finding Christ for yourself. Finding Christ for yourself. The key verse being verse 25, when Thomas said, Except I shall see his hands, in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. You know, we usually look at Thomas, and they even got a nickname for him in the Bible, you know, or not in the Bible, but people call him Doubting Thomas, people that read this story right here. And we kind of look at that from the negative side, that Thomas had doubt about who Jesus was, or, you know, and the fact that he had actually resurrected. And, you know, so we look at it that way. But today I want to look at it from the positive point of view. That Thomas had this concept in his mind that he wasn't going to believe on somebody else's faith. He wasn't going to believe in Jesus based on just only what somebody else said. That he wanted to have an encounter with Christ himself. And I mean, I think that's the point or the place that we need to get to today. You know, now Thomas had belief. He didn't, you know, somebody said this is kind of a paradoxical statement that you have to have belief to not believe or to have doubt. Let me put that. You have to have belief to have doubt. G. Campbell Morgan said, it would utter a paradox. It is only the man of faith who really doubts. There's no room for doubts unless you believe in God. See, in the statement, I will not believe unless, tells us that there is a possibility of belief or the concept of faith, that faith does exist in that person. And so we see that Thomas had that. And so I just got a few points for you this morning to talk about that. They're not alliterated. I told Eileen sometimes I'm going to spend more time trying to get something alliterated. I'm just going to give you the points, and kind of helps me along anyway. Number one thing is Thomas investigating. Thomas investigating. But see, verse 20, back at verse 20 tells us that the other disciples had already seen Jesus. They had already seen the print of the nails in his hands. They had already seen where the spear had pierced his side. So they had seen for themselves. It's not that they didn't believe without evidence. They did believe with evidence, but they saw that. And Thomas, when we think about this man, really what the only thing he wanted was what they had. He wanted the same thing. He wanted to see for himself exactly what they saw. They were trying to tell him about it. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. Listen, me telling you about Jesus is not the same or not as good as you seeing him yourself. Now, I can preach to you, and God will open your eyes, and you can see it that way. And we are told to go into all the world and spread again, tell people. But I'm going to tell you what, people got to apprehend Christ on their own. They see that, and a lot of people don't. And so this is a positive thing. Thomas was not content to put faith in somebody else's faith. Well, I'm going to have faith because everybody over here said so, and they saw it, and they have faith. I'm just going to have faith too. You know, because we're like a bunch of sheep anyway. Boy, the Lord really named us right. We follow somebody off a cliff. My mama used to say, well, if your buddy's jumping in a fire, you going to jump in a fire? I said, yeah. I do. That's what we do. We follow somebody else. He wanted to have his own faith. And that's great. You know, so he inquired, he investigated, and he wouldn't make no confession of faith unless it were absolutely true in his mind. He wouldn't confess a conviction that he did not have. This is a positive thing about Thomas, and I think that's needed today. It may be why the church as a whole, in general, all the church, it may be why the church has lost its witness and testimony. Because people are operating on the faith of the granddaddy and the grandma, or they're operating on the faith of the parents, or they're operating on the faith of somebody else. They're just, you know, they're going along with that herd mentality that we hear about, but they don't really have the experience for their own self in their own life. They're not convinced or convicted in their own mind. See, I know good and well, I'm smarter than I look. I'm smarter than you think I am. I know that everybody in here don't believe exactly the same thing I believe. They don't believe some of the stuff. Some of the very stuff that I preach, you don't believe it. You're wrong and I'm right, but I mean, that's just the way it is. You know, you don't believe what I'm telling you because you haven't got it convinced. You haven't been convicted in your own mind to get this straight in your life. And so and a lot of people in churches everywhere, they know people have encountered Christ. We read about people in the Bible that have been empowered by Christ, encountered Christ, did mighty things in the name of Christ. They know all about that. They've been used by God in miraculous ways. And we look at them and we think they're so different. Well, the truth is they may be so different. Because they did have a personal encounter with Christ. I mean, they had this experience with Christ that maybe you haven't had. Maybe you just haven't had that. Thomas, we see that Thomas was missing on the first night, the first meeting. And I don't know why. I mean, a lot of people have commented about that. Why he was missing from that meeting right there. You know, maybe it was just fear. Listen, I mean, they had crucified Jesus, right? That put some fear in you. They would snatch your leader up and they've crucified him. I'm sure they were meeting in an upper room. They were meeting in secret. Maybe Thomas had, maybe he was overcome by fear in his life. I don't know that. Maybe it was just the busyness of life that occupies so many people's, listen, they were just as they were busier in their day than we are in ours. Man, just think about it. They didn't have Walmart. Honey, you got to have a new pair of socks. You're going to have to go through the whole nine yards. You're going to have to harvest the cotton. You're going to have to make it into twine. You're going to have to knit the socks. I mean, they had to knit the socks. They had to prepare every meal. They didn't have microwaves. They didn't have, those dinners that you put in. They had to fix everything. They were busier than we are. Maybe the busyness of life, maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was discouragement. Maybe because Jesus had been crucified, maybe he was getting discouraged. Anybody here ever get discouraged? You get down in the dumps. I don't know what it is about Christian people, but when they get discouraged, the first thing they do is quit coming to church. The first thing they do is fall out. The first thing they do is quit reading their Bible. The first thing they do is quit praying. Man, I mean, this ought to be driving us to Christ. It ought to be driving us to be around God and God's people there. And so, but whatever happened, he missed what took place 8 days earlier because he wasn't present at the meeting. At the meeting, you know, the church, the ecclesia, it means a called out assembly. You know, you can be called out, and if you're not assembling, you're not in the church. You're not a part of the church. The church is an assembly. That means that they met. He wasn't at the meeting. Where was Christ? At the meeting. I mean, he was at the meeting. If you wasn't there, you wasn't there. And so then he had an encounter later on. Where was he at when he finally did see Christ and see the print of his nails in his hand? In the print and the spear, sorry. He was at the meeting. Where was that? Where was it? It was a called out assembly. It was a called out. They were called out by Christ earlier. They were assembled by. As a matter of fact, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. See, and you may be here, if you believe this way, that's fine. Some people believe the church didn't start until Pentecost. I don't. I believe the church already started. I just think it was empowered at Pentecost. You want to believe different? Like I said, you'd be wrong, I'd be right, but that's okay. I mean, it's all right. You know, just learn to live with being wrong. That's all I'm telling you. But I got pastor friends of mine that believe different than me. Some of them more educated than me. But if the ecclesia is a called out assembly, I can show you several called out assemblies before the day of Pentecost ever got there. And that's what it means. And so here it was. He was at the meeting the second time when Christ showed up. And there's some importance and some emphasis on the fact that they met together and something happened with Christ. Amen? Amen. Something happened there. And so, Thomas's doubts lasted longer than the rest of those people right there. His witness was behind 8 days. For 8 days, he could have been telling somebody about Jesus. For 8 days, he could have been excited about, if it was discouragement, he could have been encouraged. If it was fear, that could have been removed. If it was any other thing, it would have all been taken care of. It had just been at the meeting 8 days earlier. Everything would have worked out all right. He had nothing to say to anybody about Christ for 8 days longer than the other disciples. 8 days, he didn't have nothing to say because he didn't know anything. 8 days of the inability to do anything for God because he wasn't at the meeting. Mark that down. 8 days of opportunity loss. 8 days of interaction with people who needed to know about Jesus. How many, just think about that. How many times a week do you think you come in contact with somebody that's lost that needs to know about Jesus? I'm going to tell you what, but you can't give them what you don't have. Huh? You can't tell them nothing. You can't tell them a thing. If you're not convinced and convicted in your heart. Man, when you get convinced and convicted, you know how we got Facebook and text message. Boy, when something happens big, and you believe it, you got it all over Facebook, you got it all over social media, man, you're jabber-jawing, mouth running a mile a minute on the phone with one person on Facebook and the other one at the same time. You got something to say, right? If you believe it, right? We can't be quiet. 8 days, man, he couldn't say a thing. All those encounters of people that needed to hear about Jesus. You didn't have nothing to say. You can't do it till you find Christ yourself. You can't tell anybody until you have conviction in your own soul. Now listen, I want you to notice that Thomas's conviction, his convincing, didn't come from touching Jesus. Jesus told him, he said, go ahead and put your finger in. He said, go ahead and thrust your hand in. But Thomas just looked and said, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. He never did touch him that we know of. It's not recorded that he touched him. I don't believe he did touch him. He didn't have to touch him right there. But it came from seeing Jesus. Seeing Jesus. Last Sunday night, I preached a message on becoming by seeing. You know, he had to see. Thomas had to see for himself. And we do too. It's not with the physical eye. I doubt that Jesus is going to appear bodily. He will when he returns, but not as far as our interaction with Jesus today. But spiritual eye. See, you can see with your heart, and you can see with your mind, and you can see with that spiritual eye. I preached last Sunday night. Remember, I preached Elisha about with his servant, and he said, "Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes that he may see." And I said this. I don't think Elijah ever saw. You know what that story at Dothan? The army was around him. Syrian army was around the city. And the servant looked out, and he said, "Master, what shall we do?" I think Elisha was just busy doing something else. I don't think he ever saw him. He said, "Lord, open his eyes." He said, before that he told him, he said, "They that be with us, or more than they that be with them." I don't think Elisha saw anything physically. He just knew it. He just knew it in his mind that the Lord was there. And so that was a great prayer. He said, "God, open their eyes." That's the prayer right there. We have to open our spiritual eyes, and that's what we need. Maybe I should have prayed that as we prayed this morning. And then Thomas gave one of the greatest confessions in the Bible. He said, "My Lord and my God." That was it. I mean, it's just like nailing it on the wall. I mean, he said, "My Lord and my God." I've got a name. He didn't know it was just God. He said, "My Lord and my God." You know what? Your Lord, my Lord. You know what that means? My Lord. That means he's telling you what to do. He's your Lord. If he's your Lord, he's telling you what to do. And not only is he telling you what to do, you're doing what he tells you to do. That's the Lord right there. And he said, "My Lord and my God." That was it. The Bible doesn't say it all, but I believe Thomas had a super witness when he went out of there. I believe he went out and he had something to say. He had something to tell. And I believe he went on and God used him in a big way because of that. Now, here's an encouraging point. Maybe discouraging, maybe encouraging, depending on what viewpoint you want to look at. When Thomas was missing at the first meeting, it was 8 days later, it says. 8 days later, they got together and Jesus showed up. Thomas was present that time. I want you to note that Jesus didn't run all over town, all over Jerusalem, looking for Thomas. Did he? It doesn't say that. It was just 8 days later when they got together. Jesus knew that Thomas wasn't there the first time, but Jesus didn't run all over the place looking for his hat. You know what? I mean, if you want to find God, I'm going to tell you something. God sent his son to this earth, all right? We've had the resurrection, greatest event in the world, history of the world. We got churches all over the place. Paul was talking this morning and asking people, how many of you watch preaching on TV this morning? A bunch of people watch TV on preaching. There's preaching. If you want to find God, brother, he can be found. And God may not run all over the world, all over the place looking for you because he's already done everything, in other words, that he needs to do to get your attention. And so he didn't run all over the place and look for Thomas. But when Thomas came to the meeting, there we are, we're back at the meeting. When Thomas came to the meeting, effort on Thomas's part, right? I mean, he's of a desire. He wanted to get with God's people. He wanted to see what was going on. Guess what? When the Lord walked in and the Lord knew, he said, Thomas, he went right to him personally. Just go ahead and put your finger in there. Go ahead and thrust your hand. He said, he went right to him. And that's the encouraging thing. That when we want to come to Christ, when we want to come and find him, that he takes note. Huh? If you're not interested, and I'm tell you what, I ain't got the same way. I used to run all over the place and get these people and beg them, pull them, tug them, try to get them back to church. I don't do it no more. If you, you know, but if you're interested, if somebody, show me somebody that wants to know something. Show me somebody that's got a desire, an interest, to show some interest, has a question. Man, I'll be there in a New York second. Let me talk to you about it. I'll talk to you about it. Jesus didn't run all over him, Thomas, but when Thomas came, Jesus came in and he went right to Thomas. He said, man, I'm going to meet your need. I'm going to answer your questions. I'm going to give you what you need. It's going to convince you. I'm going to get you convinced in your mind. He's looking for something from God, and Jesus took a personal interest in this individual, an individual who desires to know him. I believe that's true in every single case. When you desire something from God, and even if you're saved, listen, you can be saved and be dry as dust, well done, run dry, huh? Feel like God's a million miles away. But if you desire that relationship to be better, God will answer that. God will answer that. I mean, you can pray for the Rolls Royce in the driveway all you want. I don't know that God's going to answer that one. But if you want to come, if you want a relationship with Christ, a closer relationship than you had, God, he's going to meet that need. Jesus took this personal interest. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Right? It didn't say the God's going to draw nigh to you, waiting on you to draw nigh to him. It said you draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. That's it. That's an encouraging thing because he can always be found if we're just looking. If we just would look and we'd just be seeking him. And Jesus, listen, he wants us to have faith. He wants a relationship with you. But you have to desire it too. You've got to want it. If you want it, he's willing. He's ready. He's done all he can do. You know, we used to have a saying, you know, you tried to appease somebody and you say, what do you want me to do? Cut my throat? Remember everybody ever say that? Sometimes they say, yeah, that's what we want. Well, God sent his only son to die on the cross for you. What else you want him to do? Huh? What else could he do? He's done it. He's waiting on you to respond to that. That's his. The ball's in our court to draw nigh to him. And then in the second point, we see Jesus speaking. And not only did Thomas see Jesus, but he heard Jesus speak. And Jesus, listen, here's the thing. Man, I got a message and stuff hits me every in odd places and times. I got to be able to write it down because I won't remember it. I got a message I'm going to preach about voices, but not today. But this will go along with it, would go along with it. Jesus still speaks today. The problem is, do you hear it? Do you hear it? And he speaks for one way. He speaks to us through his word. There's other ways, but he speaks to us through his word. In Luke 24:32, one of my favorite Easter stories of all, the Emmaus Road disciples, y'all remember that? Jesus has been crucified. A couple of disciples were leaving Jerusalem. They were going back to Emmaus. They were on their way out. They were discouraged. They were dejected. They were walking along. Jesus appeared on the scene. And Jesus spoke to him, and he started in the Word of God. He preached about Moses and the prophets, all the prophecies that concerned himself. And it says in Luke 24:32, and they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scripture? And in verse 31, it tells us in that text that Jesus opened their eyes. Now they weren't blind physically. He opened their spiritual eyes. And it says, and they knew him. Just like that. Now, there's a big difference in reading the Bible with that distracted mind that we have. And I tell you, I got one of the worst in the world. I can read and my mind, my eyes are following the words in my mind, thinking about something else. Caught myself today reading my devotion book. A good one. Halfway through. I'm right in the middle of it. It's really good. And then the next thing you know, I'm thinking about something else when I caught myself then and backed up to that paragraph and made myself pay attention. I read it. And I can do it. I know what you're talking about. But there's a difference between reading the Bible with that distracted mind we have and having Jesus open our eyes and seeing Him through His Word. When was the last time you read your Bible and your heart burned within? When's the last time you did that? And listen, like I said, I can read it with a distracted mind, and I'm going to tell you what happens. When I do that, I'm going to tell you what, I don't see Jesus. I don't hear Jesus. I don't know what Jesus is saying to me. All I know is I checked the box off that I read my Bible. And it was probably the biggest waste of time that I have the rest of the day. Because it didn't do anything. See, there's a danger of intellectual assent also. You know, a lot of people, they read the Bible like this. They read the Bible to try to prove a point that they've already made their mind up about, and they're just trying to confirm it instead of reading the Bible with an open mind and trying to see what God's going to say. Luke 24:27, it said, Jesus began at Moses and all the prophets and expounded unto them in all the scriptures concerning himself. Now I want you to know something. Those weren't scriptures that those men didn't know already. These guys were Jews. They knew those scriptures. As a matter of fact, they might have been able to quote some of them to you. They'd already heard them. It wasn't something that was new. It was all the Old Testament scriptures that concerned Jesus. They heard that. But they only knew them intellectually, not personally or not spiritually. You know, they didn't grasp it for themselves. And unless when we read the Word, we have the voice of the living Christ talking to our innermost soul, we miss the point. We miss the point. I mean, listen, you can come to church, man. We can have a band, and we can have smoke rolling down off the stage and a disco ball flashing around. And the preacher, sometimes I get my points alliterated. I could have a snappy illustrated message with a nice little joke at the front and a poem at the end. But if it doesn't impact your life, what have you done? Just had a good time for however long we're here? I mean, what does it do? Jesus said in John 5:39-40, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. He was talking to the Jews, the Jewish rabbis, the Jewish leaders. They knew the Word of God. We looked at some prophecies this morning. Paul did the Sunday school class for Brian. We looked at some of the prophecies concerning the birth of Christ. All the Jews know them scriptures. They didn't get it. They didn't have their eyes opened up by God. They had their mind made up. When we got to the New Testament, that was the Jewish problem. They had their mind made up that Jesus wasn't the Messiah, and they would not even look at the evidence in the scriptures that said he was. Didn't impact their life at all. It was intellectually studied the Word, but they didn't know Jesus. They didn't listen to God speaking, and they didn't apply the Word of God to their self personally. And I tell you, a lot of people don't today either. You can preach, man, you can go in here and preach on sin, anything, and everybody sits over there thinking, yeah, boy, that message really hitting on so-and-so over there today. Mm-hmm. Yeah, boy, they needed to hear that. Huh? Yeah. Already got their mind. Well, it certainly couldn't apply to me. They've already got their mind made up on that. Man. We see this third point as a heartburn right there. Jesus spoke to Thomas, and he spoke to the Emmaus Road disciples. And the Bible says that their eyes, their spiritual eye, was opened. They received a new vision of truth, a new understanding of the things which they were familiar with. These were things that they already knew. How many of you ever read your Bible something familiar with it? And I'm going to tell you, try this one time. Take the most familiar verse you know in the Bible and sit down and study that one verse. look at every single word individually, not the sentence as a whole. I mean, you can look at the sentence as a whole, but take every single word individually and say, man, have you ever read a verse and all of a sudden one day, man, it's like the light bulb went on? And it's like, man, I see stuff that I never saw before. That's God opening up your spiritual eyes. That's what had to happen to them. And the Bible says that their hearts burned within them. Those Emmaus Road disciples, they told Jesus before, I always like this on Easter, I always say, you know, they were walking one way, they were tired, and they were going to turn in for the night. But after Jesus spoke to them and their hearts burned and he opened their eyes and he left, it said they turned around and they went right back to Jerusalem. Man, I mean, I can just see them now. You know, I see them going this way, like dragging along. Man, I don't know what we're going to do. Woe is me, Jesus me. And then after he met them, man, I can just see them, man. They was cutting the shine back onto Jerusalem. They got something to say. They hadn't had any rest. I mean, what happened? It was just a whole different deal. And they wanted Jesus to stay. They wanted the blessing to last. They wanted the fellowship. They wanted that fellowship with Jesus. The Bible talks about, and I think I preached on this somewhere along the line the last few weeks, about feeding on Christ, what that really meant to feed on Christ. Take him into your innermost. See, when you eat food, I know kind of how it works, but we're not doctors. You know, you eat food and it goes into your system and your body breaks it down and it puts all the nutrients and everything in your bloodstream and you get, you know, protein, whatever goes in there, and it gives you strength and you got life. It doesn't do no good. You can wave that. You can smell that food, huh? You can smell that old ham biscuit. It don't do no good, huh? You can look at it. You can touch it. You can know how to make a biscuit, Larry. You can know how to cure the ham that goes in the biscuit. You can handle it all you want to. You can smell it all you want to, huh? You can wave it around and look at it all day long. I'm going to tell you what, it won't do you a bit of good. Nutritionally, ham biscuit probably don't do no good nutritionally anyway, but maybe a bad illustration, but it won't do you any good till you eat it. It's got to go in here. Got to go on the inside. The same way, you can listen to preaching until you're blue in the face. You can have 15 Bibles sitting on the coffee table with coffee stains, rings all around there where you've been setting your coffee pot, coffee cup. You can have Bibles every which way. You can have the Ten Commandments on the wall. You can have crosses all over the place. You can wear one around your neck. You can come and sit here every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Sunday school, every Wednesday night. You can hop on the Christmas float. You can be in the Christmas play. You can say amen, brother, and Jesus all you want to. But if Christ hadn't come in here, inside, it's not doing you a bit of good. It's not doing you a bit of good. No. And these guys, man, they wanted that. What they wanted to feed on Christ. See, studying up. And the Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, not a workman who need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible tells us that. But study by itself is not sufficient. It's not sufficient. There's got to be a burning heart and our spiritual eyes being open to Jesus himself. The fourth point is days of famine. Amos 8:11 says this, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord." We're living in that day. It's not a famine of preaching, although that may be up for debate. It's not a lack of the word. It's not a God that quits speaking. It's a lack of hearing. And it's a lack of listening. I husbands and wives, married couples know this. Listening and hearing are two different things. Right? Listening, hear, you know, you hear something, but listening is nothing, you know, another thing. It's a lack of listening. It's a lack of listening. See, like I said, we hear preaching or we hear the word, and you may hear what I say every week. But what impact does it have on your life? How's your life changed by that? What impact on your behavior? What you do, where you go, what you say, what you allow in the eye gate, into your life, into your home? What impact on your witnessing for Christ? What impact on your faithfulness to God? What impact on your service to God? It doesn't have any impact There's something missing. There's something missing. Let me ask you this question after I make a statement. The Christ life is to be us living the life that Christ would have lived had he remained here on earth. That's the Christ life. Us living the life that Jesus would have lived had he remained here on earth. Now let me ask you this. Does that describe your life? You living your life like Jesus would have lived if he had lived here on this earth? Hey, if I'm crucified with Christ, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, and I'm crucified and yet he lives, then it's supposed to be Christ's life. Huh? Man, I'm going to tell you what. Boy, you could go right on. I got till 1:30. I got to be at the funeral home at 1:30. It's 12 o'clock. I could do a whole nother message. I could do a whole nother message on that crucified life. Huh? The life that's supposed to be lived, and it's not my life. Listen, I'm dead. It's supposed to be Jesus. After Thomas saw Jesus, he gave one of the greatest confessions in the Bible. He said, "My Lord and my God." The Emmaus Road disciples, Bible says their hearts burned and they wanted Jesus to stay and they didn't want him to leave. But listen to this. The best evidence that we have that we have met the living Christ is that we have something exciting to share with others. If you read the rest of that story, it's great. The Emmaus Road disciples already told you how they were going down the road. They were dejected. They met Christ and boy, they said they turned around. They were going to turn in and rest. They told Jesus the day's late. Turn in with us and stay. And boy, after he departed, man, they said, man, didn't our hearts burn when he was with us? Their eyes were open, man. They knew it was Jesus. They took off back to Jerusalem, and I can see it now. You ever get all excited, and you get around a bunch of other people that are excited, and everybody got to tell, oh, I got something to say. No, wait, it's my turn. Huh, you ever do that? Huh, it's just my turn to tell you. And they got there, and it says when they got there, see, they wanted to tell those disciples what happened to them in the way, but guess what? The other disciples had already seen Jesus before they did. They had already met him, and they said, well, we got something to say. And they were all saying, well, and they were telling, we saw Jesus, and everybody was talking at once. And, I mean, they was excited. You can just see the buzz that was going on. They were so excited about what had happened in their life. Huh? I mean, man, it was just, you can, if you read that, I mean, I just feel the excitement. Everybody wanted to tell what they saw and what they knew. What a difference it would make when we come to church. If we had had our spiritual eyes open, we had had an encounter with Christ that morning where our hearts burned within us and we were so excited about what Jesus had done in our life that when we got to church, we'd be getting out of the car, the car'd still be running, the door still hanging up. We run in and everybody got together. Oh, let me tell you what Jesus done for me. Well, wait a minute, I got to tell you because my deal's better than your deal, and then we'd probably get in an argument over who had a better deal. We'd be telling, but think about that. Huh? Wouldn't that be so different? Huh? We coming in instead of moaning and groaning about the coronavirus and moaning and groaning about the economy and the price of gas and what all ain't working in our life and broke down. Huh? We'd come in, man, we'd be so excited about what Jesus had done. Huh? And then we bust out of here, man, we'd be going out telling people about it up and down the road, talking to people everywhere about what happened. And you wouldn't have to tell them much. Because they'd see it. Huh? You know what they would see? They would see the living Christ living in you. Huh? Thomas was convinced by seeing and hearing. He didn't have to touch him. And that's what the world would see. And that's exactly what God intended for. Huh? We're missing the mark just a little bit. Huh? So what do we do, preacher? What are we going to do about it? Well, Jesus didn't run all over town looking for Thomas, but when Thomas turned to him and Thomas said, this is what I want, he'd already said, he goes, I'm not going to believe unless I see it. Jesus said, all right, I'll show it to you. Huh? He gave him what he wanted, didn't he? Huh? So what do we got to do? Ask him. Say, man, I want my heart burning. I want that encounter with Christ. I want to be so convinced, so convicted in my mind, huh, that it just bubbles up out of me and everybody in the world can see your life and mine. Huh? Is that you? Does that describe your life? It can. It can. Let's all stand with our heads bowed. Paul's going to come. We'll have an invitation. Hey, why don't you come down to the altar and say, God, this is what I need. This is what I want. I want to feel that. I want to feel that fellowship. I want to feel that joy. I'm going to tell you what, you ever had the joy of Christ overflowing in your heart, you'll never be satisfied with anything less, and you'll never get it nowhere else than what Jesus has for you. So we'll have an invitation. If this is what you want, this is what you want. Huh? The Bible says you have not because you ask not. And when you ask amiss. Because we ask for everything under the sun but what God really wants to give to us. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Okay, in keeping with the pastor's message, hymn 308, I Surrender All.
Attentive this morning. Don't forget, let's see, we got the funeral for Stella down here at the funeral home at 2. Food goes to their Pat's house trailer. If you don't know where that is, somebody here can direct you to that. Then we got the play.